And I begin in the name of Jesus. Amen. Is the apocalypse something that we should fear or hope for? That might sound like a strange question. Obviously, the word apocalypse very often means the end of all things and terror and awful things. In the passages that we have today, both in Isaiah and in Mark, we have little apocalypses, as they're sometimes described, and speak of the day of the Lord coming and that there being suffering and upheaval and disruption. The apocalypse often sounds like a terrifying thing. But a lot of the thinking that we have built up in our minds around apocalypse is built partly on some bad theology and some bad readings of Scripture, and missing the broader point of what Jesus is trying to share with us. So I want to invite us all this morning to take out our mental erasers and scrub out what you think you know about apocalypse or the day of the Lord, the day of judgment. And instead, let us start over. The word apocalypse itself is not meant to be a word of terror or of great fear. The word apocalypse in Greek describes a type of prophecy, a type of writing that was quite common and really just means to reveal, to pull back, to open up. You might think of it as pulling back the curtain to reveal what is there. You can imagine Toto at the end of Wizard of Oz running and pulling the little curtain so that you can see that the great wizard is actually just a person. Apocalypse is revealing the truth of what is going on so that we can understand what is there. So it's not meant to be horrifying as much as it is meant to be explanatory, to help us to understand and know what is going on. The apocalypses that we have here, especially the one in Mark, is not meant so much to terrify about what might happen, but really for those who were first reading it, first hearing this, to offer explanation for what they had seen happen. The time that Mark's gospel has been written, we know that the great war between Rome and Israel, the Jewish people, had been fought, which Rome won, sacked Jerusalem, burned it to the ground, destroyed the Second Temple. It was apocalyptic in the more English sense of the term. It was horrific. They had seen their holy city and so much blood and destruction, extremist violence. They had seen all of these awful things happen. For them, it felt like the end of the world, perhaps. Perhaps that feels familiar to us at times, given all of the negative and terrible things that are going on in the world. Certainly stories of destruction of cities and deaths of innocent people and extremist violence and disease and all these things are not strangers to us today either. I sometimes hear people say, well, God must be coming back soon because this is the worst that things have ever been. To which I want to say, first of all, no, it's not the worst things have ever been, which is not to discount how bad things may be today. But throughout human history, our incredible periods of suffering, of violence and destruction, of hatred, of fear, times when sin seems to be running rampant, and in all of those times, the human inclination is to ask, has God forgotten us? Are we alone? Is this the end of all things? How could things possibly get worse than they are right now? Those questions that we may be familiar with in our own lives are the same questions that were being asked by the people of Mark, are the same questions that are being asked by the prophet in Isaiah and the people of that time. Things are awful, God. When are you going to fix this? Apocalypse is meant to open our eyes to what is going on, and to reveal a word of God in the midst of these things. Because it is easy just to see what is awful, what is broken, and to assume that this is all there is, that God has forgotten us or God has walked away. But instead, Jesus offers us a different word of hope. I'm really sorry, I need to check my notes for the first time in a long time. Forgive me. Thank you. I am. I'm quite human. Jesus comes and speaks of peace. And peace, as the Bible understands it, is not simply the absence of violence. But as many people have said, perhaps most notably for us, Martin Luther King Jr., peace is not the absence of violence, but the presence of justice. Peace is things being in their proper order, things being set right. Peace, shalom in the Hebrew, means not just no violence, but it means wholeness, completeness. A wish to give someone shalom is a wish, may you have all that you need to thrive, to feel safe, to be complete. May you have shelter, may you have food, may you have companionship. May you have hope and love within your life. That is the promise of peace. As long as there is injustice, as long as there is hatred, as long as we have groups that are trying to rule one another, control one another, destroy one another, peace cannot be complete. That is what we truly yearn for, isn't it? When we cry out, Lord, come and set things right. When we can recognize that question in Isaiah, oh, that you would tear open the heavens, Lord, and come. Put everything right the way we want it to be. We hope for, we yearn for that sense of peace, of true peace that is God's kingdom among us, God's justice made complete. We want things to be corrected, to be healed, to be set on the proper path. But we cannot do that on our own. Hence, we turn to God for that help. Bless you. We turn to God for that help, for that guidance in what we're doing. And I'm sorry, I'm keeping the thread off. I changed some chunks of my sermon this morning. This is why. Right. We pray for that peace to come and be among us, to set us right, to put us free. The word of apocalypse, the word of these passages, is not meant to be a threat, but instead is meant to be a word of hope and of promise. If these words are being spoken to a church in Mark's time that have seen destruction, that think the world is coming to an end, they don't need to be threatened with more of that. They've seen that. Instead, what Jesus is proclaiming here, that Mark is using later on to share with them, the words that Isaiah is proclaiming, the words of prophecy and apocalypse, are meant to say that in those times where it may seem most likely that God has forgotten us, that God has abandoned us, that instead God is with us, that God is near. Jesus says in this passage in Mark, it is when those things are happening, when that suffering is happening, that the Son of Man is near at the gates. If you're already in deep suffering and fear and worry, that's not a threat, that's a promise. The Son of Man, God, is coming to make things right. He's here. He's coming with us. It's easy to look at things going wrong and assume that God has forgotten or abandoned us. But instead, Jesus tells us, no. That is when God is bringing forth life. That is when God is on the move. When God is seeking to bring forth the peace that we need. And so these passages, these apocalypses, they are meant to echo our own concerns and questions, our fears, our worries. They're meant to be a model for us in our own response. When the world is broken or awful, when we experience suffering, when there are terrible things happening personally, locally, globally, that we can't fully understand, there's a reminder that God is near, and that God responds, that God has come in the person of Christ. And in response to all of the awfulness and violence, God offers resurrection and new life, a new beginning, not more of the same, but instead a transformed heart, a transformed people, a transformed way of living, shaped by the mercy and grace of the cross. We need not fear apocalypse. We need not fear when things are awful. Certainly, we can be heartbroken. We can be rended apart. But what we do in those moments as people of God is to remember what God has done in the past, what God has spoken in the past, that God brings saviors in times of trouble, that God brings peace that is just and life-fulfilling and giving, that God does not turn away or ignore us, but that God draws near. The great reveal is that as bad as things may be at times, then, now, in the future, God is never far. God is never forgetting us. That God continues to be on the move. That God responds not with greater wrath or fear or power to the evils of this world, but with love and mercy and peace beyond our understanding. This is the promise of Advent. This is our good news. Amen.